We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Bart Winkler. Welcome into the Winklerverse with the Bruce Banner of the show, Grant Bills.
I was wondering who was going to be
smart, strong,
rage problems.
I don't know that any of that is true of me.
And the Clint Barton of the show, Paul Himmig. No real superpowers, but he can do it all. Hi guys.
That's Hawkeye. Like that one? Right?
I really like that a lot. Yeah.
Hawkeye.
That's good stuff. That's good.
Hawkeye was a good show. People shit on Hawkeye. Hawkeye was a good show.
I've not seen the show, but I really always liked the character Hawkeye.
Well, it's set at Christmas time, so it's a good one to watch around Christmas time.
The series is just one season?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
So how is everybody doing? The Packers are still in the playoffs, and I talk about this on my national show.
Ooh, I know that show.
Of which I have a few fires to put out.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I wasn't on there the last two nights. Yeah. I did Gelb Wednesday. I head off Tuesday, and some guy called the show and was like, I'm not listening anymore because of Bart. But not like he didn't like me, like I was a jerk.
What?
Yeah, because he tried calling Gelb's show, and they never told me he was on the phone, so it's my fault.
Oh!
Yeah. So now he's going on the show when I'm not there, trashing me.
Oh.
That's what happens on our network. All of our listeners that don't like my show call into the morning show to drag me. That's
yeah. It's like, well, you got finite space in a day to talk about sports. We don't need to be. And another thing that I'm going to put an end to is when people call and say, oh, I was already telling your producer. I was already telling your call screener.
Mm. We were talking off the air.
But Shep does a lot more than screen the calls, okay?
But to be clear, Shep is the one that I didn't know if that was part of his role or if he was running the board or both.
He's doing it all. He's the only one back there.
Wow, really?
Yeah, so he's doing it all.
Let's not act like he's piloting a space shuttle, okay? He's screening calls.
Let me tell you from my perspective.
I'm very adamant that my producer is a phrase that does not come out of my mouth.
Yes. Grant, the only reason I reacted that way is because I guess I just always assumed once you reached the national level, there might be more than one person doing all of it.
There is another guy there like cutting up highlights.
Yeah.
But he's not like pressing the buttons.
Yeah.
And now I have the system where I can bring the callers on and off.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cool.
I can put them on air. That's groundbreaking to me.
Yeah.
And I can do that.
You always ran your own board, right?
I miss doing it, yeah.
I bet. You probably are bored.
Yeah. I miss the drops.
Yeah.
I miss being able to just go to a cut.
So on this Winklerverse show, you know, like Grant, you were saying they call the morning show to drag you.
Mm-hmm.
Are people going to call the Rami and Drew show to drag or how's that going to work?
They might, or Tony's Spaces have been a good spot for that, I think.
I'm conflicted about Rami's show, like, because I want to support Rami, but also his internet seems questionable, and, like, he took three takes to I'm just teasing you, Rami. But, like, yeah.
Well, the first show that I did with Toby and Tim was in my shit was all fucked.
I know, it takes a while, but I thought it was funny that Rami, in the first minute, said, all right, I know how to cut a lot of things, but I know how to cut the intro, so I'm definitely going to cut that. And then, but he aired all this. I thought that was...
He did?
Yes!
That's funny.
At least the Into the Winklerverse version of it, so I don't yet have the Rami. So I don't know if he cut it on the Rami.
No, I just posted what he gave me.
He left it in there. He left both intros.
Yeah. He's like, you want to post this to help me? I go, fuck, I'm going to make a couple of bucks off this for the ads that are running. And I'll post whatever the fuck you want. I'll post your show every day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, we're not doing that. We're posting this show. Brought to you by our good friends at Tupelo Honey. TupeloHoneyCafe.com is where you can go and make your reservations. I went there, as I said earlier this week, I went there on Sunday morning after I went to the Bucks Warriors game.
You came in with the breeze on Sunday morning.
Oh, with the cold air?
No, that's a song.
Don't know it.
No Doubt.
I know like the three.
You came in with the breeze on Sunday morning. No,
I know Sunday morning.
The song?
By Maroon 5.
Ugh.
I know Easy Like Sunday Morning.
I know.
By the Commodores.
See.
I know.
Isn't there a Sugar Ray song Sunday Morning? Huh? That's Someday. Never mind.
I was in a band in high school, and we had a song called It's Sunday Morning, and it went, it's Sunday morning, it is time to fuck! It's time to fuck!
Is that a true story?
Maybe we should restart the pod.
Are you kidding? This is the best first 5 minutes.
Leave it in.
Sunday morning, it's time to fuck.
Okay, now you're in my genre. Let's go.
I was gonna say.
Now you've got the screaming vocals. Let's do it.
Fondy wasn't ready for all that.
Oh, this was supposed to be a read for Tupelo Honey.
Oh. Sorry, keep going.
No, but we went there on Sunday morning. It's time to eat grits! Eat grits!
This is going to be your next, Gourmet Nights Popcorn, Nights Gourmet Popcorn.
So we went on Sunday morning. The place was packed. People loved this food so much. It was like negative 10 degrees. And guess what kind of service we had? Tremendous.
Were the Jonas Brothers there this time?
They were not, but my brother was a four-time NBA champion.
Yes.
And so he was there, my wife and my kid. My kid, who is not a fan. So TupeloHoneyCafe.com. Sign up and get your ass there. My kid doesn't like
Oh, no. What a dick.
Maybe not the specific show, but he doesn't like... He was asking me questions the other day when I was putting him to bed. And I go, instead of yes or no. He goes, Daddy, why are you doing that noise? I said, what noise? He goes, why you not say yes or no? I'm like, this is a different way to say it. Say yes or no.
Does he like buy or sell?
Yeah. Big buy or sell fan.
Okay. Good.
Offsides, onsides, he's lukewarm on.
Dad, why do you say buy or sell? Why not you just say yes or no?
He's the same. Is it new voicers or the same ones we used?
Can I? I actually...
Buy?
I just made a buy or sell intro for Bill's show. Can I play it for you?
Buy or sell.
So hold on. I'm gonna move you over closer to this cue speaker. So, Paul, we do have the buy or sell. Oh, for whom the bell tolls was playing. So this is the buy or sell voice, obviously.
Buy or sell.
But then I have, God, that just rips.
Buy.
But then I have.
So it's the same ones from back then?
The same voice?
Yeah.
Basically, this is what I made. It's real short here. You guys judge this. Here it is.
In the world of sports, a lot of people say a lot of things.
Who is on crack?
I want Iguodala.
But what passes the big unit test? It's time for buy or sell on the Bill Michaels Show.
That's okay, right?
Oh, I thought, wait, who, why the random I want Iguodala? Where does that come from?
That was Max Kellerman.
That was Kells.
What made you choose that random drop to insert right there?
Well, in the world of sports, a lot of people say a lot of things. So I wanted some examples of things that a lot of people say.
I thought that came in with some pretty epic, like it felt big.
You should have dropped like a cut from me in there.
Rotate them through.
Yeah, see if anybody notices. Wait, was that?
That's probably one thing I won't do.
Yeah. All right.
A lot of people say a lot of things. It's Sunday morning. Let's fuck.
Time to fuck.
It's Sunday morning. Time to
just randomly right in the middle.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
How are we feeling about this game this weekend, boys?
Well, I don't know.
You have a question on it, maybe?
Yeah. Yeah. We can approach this from a lot of different ways. So sometimes I just ask you a question that it just sets the table. But I'm going to read something to you real quick.
Why are you teaching me how to do this?
I'm going to read you some names. You need help, clearly.
Do you know how I think the Packers should set the tone on Saturday? They should just throw chainsaws in the sky and see what offensive linemen they land on.
It's okay to get flagged, but only if it's worth it.
It's okay. They should bring those police dogs.
So
and then put drugs in McCaffrey's pants.
So I have to...
It's all right if it's 15 yards. It's the playoffs.
It'd be worth it. It's the playoffs.
I have two Packers questions, and then we're going to argue about Mike McCarthy.
Okay.
Okay.
After the Packers' recent success and dominating playoff win, you get to apologize to one person in the Packers universe, player,
Do you think that would be a flag?
What?
If McCaffrey had drugs on him and police dogs got him, do you think he would also get a flag? All right, apology. Your apology segments.
I just want to know, but hold on. I'm going to make this very open-ended. You can apologize to a player, a coach, front office member, or even a specific fan. I don't know. Up to you. You would apologize first and foremost to Matt LaFleur. Assuming yes, who are the other contenders? I'm just kind of curious where your top three are.
I don't know that I owe Matt
Mount LaFleur. Rushmore. Give me your Mount Rushmore of Packers apologies that you owe. I owe them too, by the way.
I don't know that I owe Matt LaFleur an apology.
What? Yes, you do. What? I do too.
for wanting him fired in a season where he took Jordan Love to the divisional round?
For starters, yes, that would be a good place to start.
That's an example, sure.
Jordan, look, LaFleur, what I didn't realize, guys.
Well, you do owe Jordan Love an apology because I did come on the show with you and Horvat the next morning, and you guys, I took the, like, you always draft a quarterback no matter what, and you guys were like, this guy sucks. He sucks. He's so bad. Well, he throws interceptions at Utah State. He sucks.
And I'm like, Horvat.
Yeah.
Anything I've said, I've atoned for with my pro Jordan Love.
You have atoned for most of that, but maybe you still apologize.
With Matt LaFleur, I would like an apology, first of all. I would like an apology from Aaron Rodgers.
Oh.
Because he's the reason why I was mad at Matt LaFleur. Because this was about Jordan Love getting the reins of an offense and learning the offense, right? And we saw the progression. And I think what we learned early in the season was, all right, he's going to be the guy. And there's a ceiling he can reach. And somehow he's like the shit that he's doing right now, you would think, oh, in year three, we hope he's that good.
Yeah.
He's doing it now. But Matt LaFleur also had to learn. He had Matt, I would say that this was Matt LaFleur's first year as a head coach as well. Because for the last 4 years, he has been a partner.
Yes.
Of Aaron Rodgers.
I think that's totally fair.
There's the Aaron Rodgers, you know, crew. I tweeted something the other night about how it's so fun this year because Rodgers is gone. It's not a coincidence. Like, and a lot of people agreed with that. And then there's still the section of like, why you got to turn against Rodgers. One guy asked, geez, get over it. He didn't get vaccinated. Okay. Because I'm also on record blasting Kirk Cousins and Lamar Jackson all the time for not getting vaccinated. In fact, I am not. It's like a lot of football became less fun because of Aaron Rodgers maybe around that time, but it's not because, like, I'm not sitting here saying something that you could view derogatory of Aaron Rodgers because of the vaccine. Like, that's something that people are like, why don't you get over the vaccine? What's wrong with you? Bitch, the fucking mirror, son. And that's what I type too. I say, bitch, period. The fucking mirror, comma, son. But Rodgers was like, you know, he was in charge. And he got McCarthy fired, so he gets a new guy here. I don't know. Could we say the same about Giannis and Adrian Griffin?
Like what? That Griffin what?
Is he really getting the coach or is he just...
Huh? He's the coach because Giannis wanted him to be.
So I would apologize to Matt LaFleur for knowing that the Rodgers effect was so prevalent, but I didn't see how it affected you. And I didn't see that you also didn't have the opportunity to blossom. Now Jordan Love is blossoming. You also are getting to do things. Like, he's running your offense. One of the things when he came over was, because I remember George Kittle saying something like, we run plays to set up other plays. Sometimes we run plays knowing that it's not going to work because we're setting it up for later. Well, you can't do that if you just have Mr. Check out of it all the time. If there's one guy he doesn't like, checks out of it all the time. So I guess I'd apologize to LaFleur. I should apologize to the Winklerverse.
Didn't you say that he's like not even fit to coach volleyball or something not that long ago? There was a volleyball reference or rip that you had.
I think you got the apology out of me. I think that's good enough.
Whatever.
Give me your – okay, well, actually, let's pivot to Grant, who was not as harsh on LaFleur nearly as Bart was. Grant? Is LaFleur on the top of your apology list, or you got someone else up there?
LaFleur isn't. No, because I've been pretty pro LaFleur. Bart, yeah, you're very correct about this. It's almost like it's his first season as head coach. He's had to learn to coach completely differently this year. It's almost like, Paul, you're a musician.
Well, he was managing. Now he's coaching.
Yeah. Or like there's all these instances throughout the years of like rock stars who had a really bad experience with drugs, or like they were in an accident and they had to learn how to play their instrument again.
Yeah.
Same kind of thing. Like Matt LaFleur is coaching football and he's coaching the Packers, but it's way different this year. And I think partway through the season, I remember a comment from him where he was like, we can't even get into our game plan. You remember this? He's like, we can't even get into the things that we're practicing for. And I think at some point a light went on. He's like, wait, I can't assume that my guys are going to do anything correctly. So if I want us to start fast, then that needs to be the game. Like, I need to be much more intentional this year.
Yeah.
That if I want something to happen into a game, I got to script it in there and I got to plan it. Whereas in the past, I think he could assume certain competencies and certain, like, I just assume that my team is going to be able to handle this without me saying it. And this year, I think he realized, oh, I need to say it because these guys are a lot younger. So you're completely right that Matt LaFleur had to learn how to coach again this year. And I think with the young receivers and a lot of the young players, like, that was a big problem for their early season flops and bad games too.
I really do like that, not to just briefly interject, Grant, but I really do like that he was managing, now he's coaching.
Mm-hmm.
If you've not used that from a national perspective, TM, trademark, you should. I think that's a great take. So, Grant, I did not think LaFleur was going to be yours because you did not owe him as much of one. So let me put you on the spot. Grant, you would like to apologize to Joe Barry? Mm-hmm.
No. Or, mm-mm. Grant needs to apologize to someone else.
Oh.
Who?
Number 52.
Rashawn.
Oh.
Wait.
Oh, you are the biggest anti-Rashawn Gary guy that I know.
First of all, I said my piece about Rashawn Gary long ago. Like, I barely talk about him this year.
Bullshit. Well, in text messages, you sure do.
Well, okay. Yeah. Okay. I mean, what has he been racking up sacks the last
time? It's not like he's been terrific or anything.
Yeah. Like, I guess I'd apologize to Jair a little bit because I've been really impressed with him post suspension.
Yeah.
But I also think any criticism of him being unserious before that suspension was warranted. It's not like it was unwarranted to be critical of Jair. Maybe not sorry, but I'll definitely give him credit for the things that he said and done the last couple weeks.
Yeah.
Especially that pick against Dak.
Maybe not Rashawn. He's had two games where he's had three sacks. The rest of the season, he's had three sacks.
Wow. Who were his three sack games against?
Detroit. And
the Aints.
Oh, yeah. Oh, when that's what I call the Saints. When he murdered Derek Carr.
I need to apologize to Lucas Van Ness.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, because he had a big play the other day, and I was like, oh, fuck, I forgot about that guy.
I forgot he existed.
First off, I got a text when he made that play from a buddy that said, Lucas Van Ness's sister's definitely getting laid tonight, exclamation point.
Oh, no.
Tim, you know what to do.
Tim.
Cut that in post.
So you're apologizing because you forgot he was on the team?
Yeah, forgot he existed.
He's had a perfectly fine rookie season.
He might. He's going to be thrust into a bigger role this weekend with the injury of J.J. Enagbare. Unless you listen to the Match Nightman show, then it's Enagbare.
I don't. I don't, and I never will.
It's like Josh Maurer with the Brewers always said Luis Urias. It's like, you realize you're the only one who says it like that. And now
I would like an apology from Pat McAfee.
I love how he flipped this.
He's given one. You get to choose to either apologize to someone or get an apology. You would rather the apology come to you. Mm-hmm or mm-mm.
What specifically for McAfee?
The whole thing where he's like, oh, we assume he's a smart guy. We assume Gutekunst is a smart guy.
Yeah.
Like, why you gotta be such a dick about it?
Because he's Team Aaron, that's why.
Yeah, but don't be a dick.
We don't know that he's a great GM. We also don't know that he's a bad one. Like,
let's finish this topic because I have a Brian Gutekunst. My second Packers question is Gutekunst related.
Okay, more apologies first. Okay,
let me say this: I am not ready. Maybe I should, but I'm not ready to apologize to Joe Barry. I think Matt LaFleur had every right reason to have fired him four or five weeks ago after the Giants thing with DeVito and who was the other back to back who was the game next?
Bryce Young.
Well, the Bryce Young where he had the only good game of his rookie season. Credit, I don't know if I should credit LaFleur for sticking with it because like, so when someone's terrible,
I would hold off on any bear. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
This as a general question. Like, if someone's really bad and all the evidence points to that person being bad, and then suddenly they're not bad anymore, and the person who had hired them, like, does the person who hired them get credit for sticking with the guy who all the evidence suggested this person's bad, but they just couldn't pull the trigger on getting rid of that guy? Like, does that person, in this case LaFleur, deserve credit for not have, like, to, I don't know. I'm conflicted on that. But what I am curious about is if there's anyone listening who will maybe call your national show or the next time you do a live, is anyone like, if let's say the 49ers put up 17 or 14 or 13, like a small-ish number on Saturday, like, are we, like, what would it take to get a Joe Barry apology? Like, because I'm not ready yet. I should be. Maybe this is a negative against me as a personality, but like, Joe Barry is teetering on deserving massive apologies. Now I say this, and they're going to give up 48.
You have to wait until this game. I mean, have to wait until this game.
But what he did against the Cowboys was masterclass.
I still don't think the Cowboys offense is that good outside of Dak and CeeDee Lamb. But I think Pollard sucks is the thing.
Well, he doesn't suck, but he's not.
They don't have a running game.
Okay.
You know how much different that game would have gone if they had Aaron Jones and we had Tony Pollard?
We'd have. Does anybody here want to? I know you want an apology from Pat McAfee, but any apologies to Gutekunst from you, Bart?
I don't think I've
for been drafting. Around. Oh well, we're gonna rewind the tape. But you hated. Not only did you hate the Jordan Love pick, you hated that Gutekunst and LaFleur smiled about it and grinned about it.
They did.
So like, this is an origin story here that we're
Look, it was a long time ago, Bart. I'll apologize to you for any criticism you took in 2020 because that summer of content was unbelievable. That's when you and Horvat found your stride and you guys just needed something to run with and you ran with it. And I enjoyed it every day.
It wasn't.
There were no sports.
No, it was trivia. And oh yeah. And by the way, the Jordan Love pick fucking sucked. All right. Back to trivia. Back to, you know, how are we going to get the baseball season off?
Have you seen The Last Dance? Have you seen The Last Dance? Tiger King. Let me tell you about Carol Baskins. I think that was the summer of 2020. It was Tiger King, Last Dance, and Jordan Love takes and trivia.
Oh God, I love Take Me Out to the Paul game. It was great content, Bart. Apologize for nothing.
Does that conclude our apology tour?
It does. And I would like to apologize. No, I wouldn't like to apologize.
Okay.
I have no transition. I don't have one. I just wanted to mention Happy Place Hemp, but I have no transition. I have no transition.
I'd like to apologize to our friends at Happy Place Hemp for it taking 26 minutes to mention them.
But you know that as long as it took to mention them, that's still not even the number of what the discount is. I said in the first few weeks of the year, I said, guys, there's a 25% discount at all products at happyplacehemp.com. The tinctures, the gummies, the balms. You need a little CBD lotion on your wrist because your wrist hurts. It's helped me. Did it cure my gout? I don't know. Did my gout go away? When's the last time I talked about gout? When's the last time I talked about plantar fasciitis? I don't know that any of these things cured it, but I know that I don't have that problem anymore. I know that I'm sleeping better. Thanks to the gummies, the nighttime gummies. So I start talking about these products, Delta 8, Delta 9, all this stuff. And I say at the end of the year, however many wins Green Bay gets, we'll add that and we'll do a promo. And it was like, that's too confusing. Almost as, it was like my version of, if they score 95 points in three quarters, then you have to buy this certain beer and then you get 30 cents off your gas. Where are we going here? But now it's happened. And it is 34% off all items as long as Green Bay's in the playoffs, which maybe we didn't think they'd be in still, but they're still in. The promo code for that is BORT, BART will work and get you 25% off. BORT will get you 34% off as long as Green Bay is in the playoffs. HappyPlaceHemp.com.
All right. I told you there was a Gutekunst piece. So here are some.
I'm going to work in 9 and 7 hours. It's so weird. I'm not used to this.
You are so good at waiting to start the thing that you're about to say until someone else has started the thing that they're about to say. Do you, has anyone ever told you that?
Yeah.
You are unbelievable.
People hate it. My friend Tucker, I roomed with him in college. And he was the first one to really be like, stop fucking doing that.
I always try to leave pauses. So then I'm like, okay, it's pretty quiet. I'll start the next topic. And it's Grant's right. It's right when I'm like, so I told you there was going to be a Brian Good, some random comment.
Well, that's all my right. Big, that's real interruptions. My biggest gripe with watching plays or acting is when you script the interruption. If you ever watch an interruption in like a movie, it's never like a true interruption, unless it's like Larry David, what they do with kind of loose.
Yeah.
Because it's always like the script says, and then I went to, and then I went to, and they like pause because they're waiting for the interruption. Interruptions are supposed to be boom, tough acted today.
Pardon the interruption. One might say. All right, Brian Gutekunst drafted in reverse order: Jonathan Garvin, Vernon Scott, Simon Stepaniak, Jake Hansen, John Runyon Jr., Kamal Martin, Josiah DeGuara, AJ Dillon. Those were 8 of his 9 draft picks in 2020. However, he also drafted Jordan Love. This is an A, at worst, an A, arguably an A-plus draft class for Brian Gutekunst. Mm-hmm. Or mm-mm.
So you're telling me. Yeah.
I'll be quick. Mm-hmm. Yes. If you get the franchise quarterback, nothing else matters. Which is also why everyone's been so bent out of shape for 3.5 years now. They traded up to get him. Doesn't matter. Fourth round pick does not matter at all. If you get your franchise quarterback, nothing else matters. So I'll go mm-hmm and relinquish the floor to Bart because it sounds like he has a more expansive answer to this than I do.
Bart?
Well done answer in 1.5 speed.
Thank you.
You're telling me Goody knew he was getting this?
So does no GM ever get credit for a pick they ever make? Like, is that, wait a minute.
Did Ted Thompson know Bakhtiari was going to go from a fourth round pick to be?
I don't think John Lynch should get credit for Brock Purdy. John Lynch should get more shit for trading up three picks to get Trey Lance.
That's what I'm going to say. That's so that was going to be my
example.
That's
a move he made. This was like, oh, fuck it. Who's left? We need another quarterback.
But he could have gone with a different quarterback at that final pick. He could have gone with a different position.
Jalen Hurts, who's basically a running back now.
Dude, there's something up with that Eagles game. Well, something fucking up with that Eagles game.
We're going to talk about Sirianni when we talk about McCarthy here in a little bit. But
I got to talk about this now.
No. Just wait.
Okay.
Just
wait. I'll wait. Just hold wait. On. Hold on.
So let me get this.
Yeah, Brian Gutekunst. Fine. Fuck it. Hey, I don't need to fight about this. You got a fucking A. You got Jordan Love. What am I going to say? No. B minus. Fucking dying with this. B minus.
What is the consensus in Packers Nation that, like, Grant, are people on your – I'm with you, Grant. So, mm-hmm. If you get the franchise core, I mean, that is a really – now, let's point out Brian Gutekunst's 2022 and 2023 drafts, more all-encompassing, are, like, elite draft classes. 2022 is a total dog shit draft class with an elite franchise quarterback. I mean – Your next best pick was Dylan. Your next best pick after that was either John Runyon Jr. or Josiah DeGuara. It's a bad draft class. But you got Jordan Love. And so to your point, so is that would you say, speaking for Packers Nation and other maybe owners, one might say?
Thank you.
Is that universal? Like, yep, that's an A plus draft class.
I mean, probably not. because you have gas bags on the radio, like Bart all the time, peddling takes that like they took Dylan and DeGuara around early and Simon Stepaniak. Didn't he like step away for personal reasons?
No, that was, who was that? As a different offensive lineman, or maybe Stepaniak also did, but I'm thinking of a different guy. Anyway,
that's really going to,
I'll never think of Josiah DeGuara. I never hear his name without hearing Horvat say, but did you see that block?
That one,
he did have a good block against the Cowboys.
He did recover a fumble this year that was kind of like, that's what I thought of when he recovered that fumble. It's like he followed the play. He never
My biggest concern if the Packers do lose in San Francisco is that this will be our last chance to see DeGuara in a Packers jersey. That's really what I'm focused on.
Yeah, he's playing for his next contract.
Well, would you say that the 2005 Packers draft was a success?
Of course. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. Aaron Rodgers,
Nick Collins.
That's all. I mean, the Rodgers thing was enough. Collins was an extraordinary.
Terrence Murphy. Marvell Underwood.
Mm-hmm.
Brady Papinga.
Papinga.
That's
Junius Costins. Oh. Michael Hawkins. Mike Montgomery. Craig Bragg. Remember that?
Craig Bragg.
Eric Why? Campbell, Will Whitaker.
Yep.
We both did it.
It's too easy. Yeah. But yeah, that's a great draft.
Class.
You don't even need.
Oh my God. Guys, I got to tell you something.
Are you high or drunk?
I don't know. What the fuck? I don't know. Marge, we have a kitchen. I'm listening to Dave Kane on the radio, Bucks guy. Yeah. And I'm like, you know, Dave's doing a good job. I'm going to tweet something about Dave Kane doing a good job. And then he goes, he said something about, for some reason, he brought up Walter White. And he goes, it's like that famous quote from Walter White. I am the one who is knocking at your door at night.
No.
It's like, what the fuck?
Not the quote. Yeah.
I am the danger. I am the one who is knocking at your door at night.
I am the one who knocks.
Uh-huh. That's the correct quote.
Dave Kane is very good. Just maybe not with Breaking Bad.
I didn't tweet it, but it was in my draft.
You were going to, and then he butchered the Breaking Bad line.
Yeah.
So you stopped.
Yeah.
Friend of network, close friend of network, Dave Kane, by the way. Outstanding guest. I might like him more as an analyst and as a guest than I do as a play-by-play guy, honestly. And that's no shade at his play-by-play skills.
Okay,
I'm more of a TMJ Garcia guy myself on the radio.
Oh, a big TMJ Garcia.
TMJ Garcia guy.
That's low-key the funniest thing you've ever said, Bart. Why? That you were going to compliment this guy publicly until he butchered the Breaking Bad line, then you put it in your drafts.
Well, I was like, fuck this, man.
It's probably a good thing you didn't, because he probably would have seen the tweet and be like, what's this asshole getting at? Like, there's no way this is genuine. Because neither Bart nor me has ever said a compliment to anyone in our life and had it taken seriously. Everyone always thinks we're being fucks. We are not.
You're not. Not always. Not exclusively. All right. Let's fight about Mike McCarthy. I don't even want to say this. Let's just talk about it.
He gave us a quote today.
He gave us a quote today that made him look even worse. Yes.
He said, we are a championship team, which I get what he's getting at. But then here's where I think when I saw the news that McCarthy got not fired, Grant and I were both on Team W. What a win for the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Paul disagreed. I might, after that quote, have to jump to Paul's side.
Oh,
but not because of that part of the quote.
Okay.
But in that quote, Mike said, "I know how to win."
Yes, he did.
And I thought, do you, Mike? Do you know how to win?
You know how to win regular season.
You won a Super Bowl on like this, that Super Bowl. Like, it was not the 96 Packers that won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, you snuck in, which it's total credit.
Like, if they win this year, it's like, the fuck did that happen?
Right.
You know, and yeah, I mean, there is credit. I'm not saying no credit, but you had a lot of high profile losses. We can name a lot of high profile losses before we can name high profile wins.
What's his best playoff win as coach of the Packers? Take the Super Bowl out of it. Take, you know what, shit. Take the, and I, not erasing history, take 2010 out of it. What's his best playoff loss post Super Bowl? Playoff win.
Probably the 2015 team before they got whooped by Atlanta. Was that 2015? 2016.
That was 2016.
16, sorry.
And that was all Rodgers.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Agreed. Pull up the, I just know that Packers team was not very good. That's why, you know.
So they beat the Giants.
Here, I'll just, we'll go through this.
Yeah, go for it.
McCarthy playoff wins. They beat the Vikings, I believe, with Joe Webb as the quarterback.
Yes, that is correct.
They beat the Cowboys in the Dez caught it game.
Give us the years on these.
That was if they're 14.
Okay, yep.
When they lost, obviously. They beat Kirk Cousins in 2015.
Okay.
When people were asking if Kirk was better than Aaron. In 2016, they beat the Giants 38-13. Then they went to Dallas and won on a comeback, which was kind of Rodgers. Then they beat the Seahawks at home in 2019. And then that was LaFleur.
Yeah. And McCarthy only has one win as Dallas, one playoff win as Dallas head coach.
McCarthy had the win in the Snow Bowl game or whatever.
2008.
Seven. Season.
With Favre.
McCarthy.
I'm glad you're seeing the light here. But yeah, keep going.
Yeah, Grant, I'm sorry. I got to go over to Paul, I think.
Yes. Yes. I love it.
I mean, I like McCarthy, and I think that he's a good regular season coach.
Yeah.
He's 12-5 the last 3 years, but.
What does that matter, though, right?
You got out-coached by Matt LaFleur.
You got annihilated by Matt LaFleur. You didn't lose a nail biter. You had your second round playoff opponent coach Shanahan prepping for the Packers in the second quarter, Mike. Like, Shanahan didn't even get to halftime before he said, this game is over. Like,
I just want a moment because I thought I would have Bart on my side for this, and not having Bart on my team for this changes the calculus of how I approach. Oh, like, I'm starting from scratch. Really quickly, I was going to ask you, well, then who would you hire to replace him? But that's the fucking
Carol
worst.
Harbaugh, Vrabel, Belichick.
Sure. And I think part of the calculus I would say, Grant, for why, and there's many reasons why I think they should have fired McCarthy, is because it's the best free agent coaching class ever.
But keep in mind, too, I'm not switching if I don't hear that quote today. I'm probably coming in guns blazing.
But maybe this is...
Even switching the chat. He said, I know how to win.
My goal is to have every one of these mm-hmms have at least one moment of putting the me in media. I knew Mike would say what... I knew Mike would say some version of what he ended up saying. Because that's Mike.
Another version of I'm a highly successful NFL coach.
That's exactly... It's the first thing I thought of. It's just like, he is a very blusterous, like...
We got 3 years in Brett Hundley. I got 2 years invested in Joe Kylehan.
McCarthy is a great salesman. He's also great at selling himself. He's a great.
He sold himself to the. He shouldn't even have this job.
He told reporters today, I don't like talking about myself. I'm uncomfortable talking about myself. Don't assign that to him, Paul. He's not some ego. I actually don't know him. You covered him, so I'll.
Again, this is gonna make it sound like I'm going to preface this because I think it's important. I like the guy. I'm not here to be like, what an asshole. But like, he is blusterous. He is a salesman. He got the Cowboys job by lying on his resume by saying that he watched every Cowboys game on tape. And then his introductory press conference said, just kidding. My point is, though, like you can't go four consecutive seasons with this Cowboys roster, which I would assign as like a undoubted top 10 roster in the NFL for several of these years, including top this
five.
Year.
Top five.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And then be like, well, this is a championship program. I know how to win. I've proven I know how to win.
He has.
In the regular season.
Well, football game's a football game. Again, I'm grasping straws here because I expected to have Bart on my team.
It's not. It's
a
football
lot. Not a football it's game. A lot easier to do this when Bart is agreeing with me and not disagreeing. Did you guys see Ryan Wood's tweet today? I thought it was a very good one about McCarthy and the Cowboys. He tweeted, if the Cowboys were ever going to fire Mike McCarthy this season, they would have done so after that loss. If not, they were never firing him. Why say we'll see how each game goes before the playoffs? Just adds a bunch of pressure to a team that doesn't need it. Jerry Jones is the problem.
Well, Jerry Jones does not like firing coaches. He is overly, but this was true with Jason Garrett. This was like, this is not new.
But except the best ones. He enjoyed firing the really good ones. He doesn't enjoy firing the mid ones like Jason Garrett and Mike McCarthy.
Yeah, that's true. And I think part of the thing is, too, is, and I've heard this said by Cowboys fans, is Jerry Jones has always run the Cowboys, right? Mm-hmm. What other owner does a post-game press conference after every game? Like, oh, sorry.
Cool. Sorry. Do them right. Hey, do them right here. Hey, Bolly, right. Do them.
My mistake. Outside of Green Bay, does any other owner do a postgame? So, I mean, Jerry, I think, likes that he's in control. If Belichick came in, Belichick's going to have input. Belichick would get credit if they had a great season next year. I think Jerry Jones likes being able to say, you know.
Oh, did you hear my Belichick take? That was a good one.
What is it
about the Cowboys?
When did you say it?
And Bill should have been doing everything he could to get that job.
Which job?
The Cowboys.
Yeah.
Because if he goes somewhere and loses, if he goes to Atlanta and loses, it's like, geez, he really can't do without Tom Brady. But if you go to the Cowboys and you lose, that's Jerry Jones' fault.
Yeah.
And so maybe that's why Jerry Jones is like, well, fuck, I need a scapegoat. I'm going to keep McCarthy around.
Grant, when I thought I was going to be riding solo on this side of the argument, like, this is a subjective thing, but I always say, like, did this team overperform or underperform relative to the talent on the roster? It's why, and I promise this is my only reference for the day, but it is one reason why I like Spo so much as a coach, because I always think he gets more out of guys. Sorry, just move on. It was going to be a quick passing comment. Just let it fly. But my criticism of McCarthy, so they put up that thing where it was like, well, like Mike Tomlin. I think Mike Tomlin way exceeded.
Yeah.
Like, you see the thing where it's like record and McCarthy and Tomlin and Sean Payton and Harbaugh were all very similar. In my opinion, it's subjective. It's like, I think Tomlin like way overshot what should have happened with that roster. McCarthy, in my opinion, way undershot the expectations of what I think should have happened with that roster. So when people just want to sit up there and pull up a thing, and I saw a clip of this being argued about on your buddy Pat McAfee's show, but it was like they pulled up the records, like, so see, same record. Like, that is like, that's the most basic take you can have. It's like, did McCarthy's team underperform, overperform, or perform to expectations? There's not a person who I think would say, yeah, I think they were probably a first round exit team. No, they were not. That isn't, they underperformed. I don't think there's anyone, Grant maybe is the one person, but like, that's an underperformance. They were at home and got cooked by a seven seed. They underperformed. Tomlin underperformed.
I'm grasping at straws.
Sean Payton this year had what, six fewer regular season wins than Mike McCarthy?
Well, I think why I was so excited and on Grant's side was because I just like McCarthy.
Yeah, he's great. It's great for content. And I like him with the Cowboys. Here's the final straw that I will grasp at, Paul.
Okay. Yep.
If the Packers go into San Francisco on Saturday night and they score 42 points and they beat the Niners, McCarthy ran into a buzzsaw. They were a great team, well on their way, and they ran into a buzzsaw that was red hot at the right time. Will that change your opinion of how this happens? If the Packers go into San Francisco and beat the brakes off of at least offensively against the Niners,
it will not change my opinion.
Then I have nothing other than maybe the other half baked argument in my head was like, well, is this Cowboys team truly Super Bowl or bust? They haven't been to a conference championship game in 1,000 years. Are they that different from the Vikings? Like, if the Vikings won 12 games, 3 seasons in a row, should the Vikings be firing their head coach? Like, I don't know.
I think very highly of the talent on the field for the Cowboys.
They were my Super Bowl pick this year.
And even as of a week ago when you said Cowboys Chiefs. Of which Bart and I took more offense to the Chiefs part, not the Cowboys part.
The Chiefs are winning this weekend.
Yeah, I know they are. They are. That's probably it.
Oh, new segment on the show tonight. It's going to be the Bart Barometer.
Ah.
Or should I call it the Bartometer? What's better?
Both are good.
When I say new segment, it's something I did on Gelb's show that I'm going to do on my show tonight.
Ah.
Playoff rankings.
Okay.
Who is the most pressure to win this weekend? The answer is the Bills.
Why?
They have to beat the Chiefs.
If they don't beat them this weekend, they're never going to beat them. Niners
have a lot of pressure. Baltimore. Ravens have pressure. Nobody else has pressure. Everyone else is.
See, I don't agree at all.
No, but the Lions have no fucking pressure.
Yeah, none.
They already did their thing. Tampa Bay, you go ask the average NFL fan, name all the playoff teams in the playoffs right now in 45 seconds. They'll give you $100. They will forget Tampa Bay. They'll forget them. They'll be like, fuck, who's the other one? Oh, can I say my Eagles conspiracy? Not even a conspiracy, but a question.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Well, you made me wait before. All right.
You.
The Paul's images bad. Of the Dan Shaney YouTube stream are perking. But our internet works. Rami! Their first series. They had the ball at their own 44-yard line.
Sorry, who are we talking about?
The Eagles.
Okay, sorry. Yep.
On a third and two. Third and two. You're the Eagles. 44-yard line. Your own. What play do you call? What do you do there? You're the Eagles. What do you do?
Run.
What happens if you don't get the first down, though? What if you only gain a yard?
Yep.
Tush push.
Yep.
Because you're the Eagles and it always works for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
They put Hurts in shotgun and fucking threw it incomplete. The next series, they had a third and three from like their own 35. What did they do?
Threw it.
Shotgun again. Did the Eagles like get a memo before the playoffs? Like, if you guys do the tush push, we're going to ban it. Because it seemed that way. They didn't play like the team that I saw and the team that was totally different. What the hell happened?
Why does Sirianni still have his job?
I don't know.
He shouldn't, right?
I don't think so. I think that loss and what happened, we didn't bring it up yet today. We got close, but didn't bring it up yet today. The 2014 NFC Championship game.
Damn. Yeah.
And the Cowboys are almost in the same, like, you're bringing McCarthy, this was a horrible moment for you. You're bringing him back?
That's the thing, like, the Eagles and the Cowboys, they both get in next season. If they start 2-3, like, well, shit. Now we're going to have to fire him anyway.
I said the Eagles should change their uniforms. Go back to Kelly Green. Do it. Change your name. Move. Get whatever you can to get the stink out of that end of the season out of you. You can't come back and look the fucking same after that.
Yeah.
half the WIP people were tweeting like, well, this is the beginning of the end with Hurts. He'll be out of here by 2026. It's like, who the fuck maps out like the slow demise of their quarter? You know what I mean? Like, but yeah, that's how it works. And they're probably not wrong, because Hurts coming into this year, it's like, is he the best or close to the best quarterback in the NFC? And now I'd take Jordan Love over him. Mm-hmm. Hands down, I'd take Jordan Love over him.
Yeah.
Which 2 or 3 months ago seemed laughable. So, yeah, I feel like you got to move on, because what? How many examples, Bart? You mentioned 2014, but we have so many examples. The Falcons, another one that always gets brought up. When you have a traumatic playoff loss,
it's the Seahawks, like, Malcolm Butler.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, we went against a better team and we lost. That's one thing. When you go into a game and you're outclassed, or you're out, or it goes so bad where the stink sits in, it's like going home from a Mexican restaurant. You're like, you smell like refried beans. It sticks with you. You need to get, you need to purge.
Well,
purge.
So, well, you, that, I have a take. Real, Paul, you first. Mine's fucking stupid, so you first.
Grant, you are giving me the other reason I would have said, had I been a one-on-two debate, of McCarthy being fired. I think there's a stinky, stinky stink to get 27-0'd by the Packers. And short of LaFleur admittedly pulling out his starters too soon, if they had gone to San Francisco at some point, Dallas did, and lost, like, yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, good team on the road. But to get destroyed at home in the way that they did, and Jerry Jones calling it the most surprising outcome of Jerry's 81 years of being on this planet, I think it, I would want to wash the stink. I wouldn't, you know, even if I like really liked Mike and believed in Mike, I think much to what you're saying with Sirianni, you have to, you got to clean.
Most surprising football outcome. He's been surprised at other outcomes.
Most surprising football outcome. I would want that stink off.
Dak. The other thing is, Dak's going into the last year of his deal now. So it's McCarthy, huge. McCarthy and him are on the same timeline. So I also think, given the contracts, it's a reasonable enough decision to say, okay, we're going to run it back one more time. We're probably going to have to make a decision, quarterback, coach, anyways. Let's gather some more information and really decide what we want to do. The length of the contract makes sense.
But what you're saying, though, assumes that Dak is going to be perfectly fine going into the last year of his deal without demanding an extension or asking to be traded, I mean, which I think is asking a lot of a really good quarterback.
But I mean, after the game, when he was asked about his coach, he's like, hey, if we're spreading responsibility for this loss around, you put it on me as much as he said that. I was like, okay, right. Well, you're going to play out the last year of your contract, yeah, then.
But again, like when Kirk Cousins went to Minnesota and got the first fully guaranteed contract in NFL history, that's about the best type of quarterback that hits free agency, like true. Kirk Cousins level.
But everyone compares Dak to Kirk. You don't think they're comparable enough? I like Dak more.
If I'm Dak's agent, he gets an extension, even if it's like a 2-year. You don't need to give me 5 years, but you're not making my quarterback a top 10, 12 lame ducking. You're not. I won't let you do it. I will demand a trade. I will have public fuss. Yeah. So I agree with what you're saying under the current context, but like, I just don't think Dak.
Are we both laughing at public fuss? We both heard that and started laughing. Yeah, that's
ladies
good.
And gentlemen, I like that a lot. Public fuss.
Public fuss.
It's Sunday morning. It is time to fuck. The stink that comes home with you after Subway is an elite smell. It is. It's a good smell, and it's the phrase. Like if you say, why don't you like Subway? Oh, I come home and I stink. Oh, so then you don't like campfires? You don't like bonfires? Because you come home and you stink from that too? You take a shower and you're like, oh, am I there again? Like Subway, I am tired of defending Subway. Subway is delicious. Subway is very good.
Jimmy John's is better. And
look, maybe it is. Jimmy John's is really good.
Cousins is
better. Cousins is really, really good. Jersey Mike's is good, but I don't need – you got to order Jersey Mike's, though. You can't go and get in line. Like, Subway, you can get in line. They're like, what do you want? What do you want? Jersey Mike's, the guy's like, so how was your day? It's like, I don't need to watch the art. Like, I go to a museum to see the finished fucking art. I don't need to see, hey, I'm Da Vinci. Here's me cutting David's dick.
It is –
Michelangelo made I'm getting my turtles mixed up.
Yes, that was the problem with that statement. Yeah, that was the problem.
You guys want to watch me do David's balls?
Dude, you are on one today.
The last time I went to Jersey Mike's, it was the one off Lion Street or Ogden or whatever it is, right up by the worst grocery store on the face of this fucking planet.
Oh, you don't like that one, the Pick and Save?
That Pick and Save makes me want to end my life when I go in there.
No, the Metro over there is worse.
It's not possible. It can't be, Bart.
My Metro's taking a shit too.
I go in, I have bought liquor at that so many times, and without fail, every time when I'm waiting in line in the liquor store, one of the people in front of me in line gets to the register and then is surprised that they need to pay. And it blows me away every time.
Bart, how many weeks?
$25. And the person's like, and we're all just standing there waiting. And it's always some 16-year-old behind the register that doesn't know shit. And it just sucks.
Bart, how many weeks into the hashtag national show until you're going to tell your story about how a couple months ago you threw a tantrum on the Metro Market guy for not letting you take your alcohol into the fruit section or whatever the hell happened?
I've already played my greatest hits.
But is that one? Do they know Toilet Wings? Do they know
Toilet Wings yet?
Do they know Metro Market?
They don't know Toilet Wings yet.
Metro Market tantrum.
They know Chase Utley.
More call center shit. More. Always. I love call center.
My other tangent question for you, Bart, is do you feel you are getting close to having identified your Tony in Texas, your Matt in the Falls, your Hot Take Jake? Are you cultivating your national versions of these fine fellas?
There's another guy, there's a Rick that calls that is like,
I've heard Rick.
I'm like, this is Rick.
I know you like to.
There's people that call every day, yeah, and I like that because then you can start to establish something. But one of those guys is mad at me because I didn't take him on Gelb's show and I didn't know I had him there.
So no, you've not yet fully.
It is a bad.
But I've also gotten calls from Jake and Tony and Q and Big Ron. Like,
yep,
I love that. Or who called? J-Mo called in.
J-Mo.
There was a guy in Baltimore that sounded just like fucking J-Mo. And I told the audience, I go, guys, this is crazy because this sounds exactly like his. Everything was the same. And J-Mo was on hold. And I go, in fact, he is right now. And J-Mo goes, hey, it's the same shit. But then all he wanted to talk about was Tony in Texas. He was like, trust fun Tony. Kept saying all this shit. It's like, whatever you're referencing, these people don't understand. I'm right. Not going to get into the Tony in Texas backstory right now here.
The lore of Milwaukee radio callers.
Mm-hmm. All right, last question for you.
Who may be boots on the ground again this weekend. I'm not sure if he's going.
Could be. Can confirm.
Doug Hype, I think, is boots on the ground, though.
He bought his ticket before the game was over.
Mm-hmm. All right, what do you guys got, and then we're done.
Last question. An NFL team's head coach and coaching staff is the second most important piece of any NFL franchise behind the quarterback. So you're ranking like the most important things that a winning franchise can have. Quarterback is the most important. You can choose positions. You can choose, like, however you would slice it. My argument is going to very strongly be, and I was talking about this with some buddies, that this, if you like coaching staff, if I get the head coach and the coordinators, like, I think it's more important than having like an elite corner, an elite edge rusher, an elite left tackle, wide receiver, et cetera.
Coaching.
So that's what I'm going with. And by the way, I tied this into like my Mike McCarthy thing, the Sirianni piece of this.
This is your Spo argument all over again.
It's not unrelated to it, but
it's a cousin.
But the NFL, like, so here's how I view the NFL, and I'm just curious if this is a crazy take or something that you're like, well, yeah, duh, that's obvious. But these coaches nowadays, because of the way the NFL is officiated, it's chess. They're just playing chess. I think the moving of the person who's telling the pieces where to go is more important than the quality of the pieces in most instances.
So what's more important, quarterback?
Only quarterback. And I'm just wondering, is this a crazy take or is this like
– Probably you let us chew on this one for the week.
Will you? Yeah. This might be a thinker. But, like, please do think about it.
I'm inclined to talk
about what sport coach is more important in.
I think the NFL is number one by a
lot. Well, football's the most schematic game we have. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, look at the last decade with the read option, and then it was all of the Vic Fangio deep, like everything's shifting all of the time. There's so much more scheme in football.
But Grant, you said, just to be clear, your initial inclination is to say
I think but I'd like to sleep on it for the next six
Please
nights.
Please do.
And expand my argument. And I swear to God, if I walk into next week's podcast expecting to have Bart on my side with something and he pulls the rug out from under me, I'm going
to
be pissed.
Oh, that's fucking Mike. Mike had to go say he's a winner when he is not a winner.
Yep, this is on Mike. I'm going to give you one more to chew on. And we're not going to dissect it, but I want to tease it because I'm curious about it. The NFL will be king for our entire lifetimes, and there's nothing that can happen to change that.
DeAndre Ayton didn't show up for a game because his driveway was icy last night. Nothing is ever touching the fucking NFL because baseball's dying and the NBA is a mess. So yes. Well, actually, let me chew on it. Let me think about it. Let me take another week to see how many stupid
but
reasons.
But I like knowing your initial inclinations, even if you're going to chew on it some more. Bart, is this an obvious for you?
No, I thought we saw a guy die last year, and I thought that would have been a game changer.
I was also going to say I think only the NFL can stop the NFL from being number one in our lifetimes, and I mean that in terms of like if more becomes known of CTE and things of that nature, right? Like if
these are great national topics. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Both of them are.
Yeah, I'll probably do both tonight.
You should. I would like to hear what people think. But I do think that'd be the only thing, like the NFL would stop the NFL from being king for the duration of our lifetimes. And by the way, what was your guys' reaction when you heard, was it Collinsworth say when Higby got his knees taken out that like, oh, everyone I talked to would rather get hit in the head than on the knees.
That's true.
I don't think I heard that part.
Grant, you know what I'm talking about, Grant? Just to
yeah, and everyone freaked out. Like Collins were saying, it was a dirty hit. He wasn't saying that. He said if we need to err upper or lower,
but that's air but upper. That's awful.
Like to be clear, their choice. I didn't really mean for it to come across that way. I guess it did. I realized as it left my mouth, but I mean,
done.
Who are we to tell them what to think?
All right, we're done with today's show.
Chew on these from a national perspective.
I do not think I'm doing a Packer one on Saturday night. I'm not.
What?
I don't think I'm doing one.
I would put money on the fact that you will.
Oh, well then if you're going to pay me. Maybe I will. We'll talk in the future.
Toodaloo.
I'll stew.
Okay, this is the end. Good night. Download the Odyssey app.
Asante came to TurboTax after graduating from culinary school and landing a job in the hottest kitchen in town.
My hands are full all day, every day. I love it.
Asante, as your TurboTax expert, I'll make your moves count, guaranteeing 100% accurate filing and your maximum refund. Sound good?
Yes, expert.
Switch to Intuit TurboTax and make your moves count. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees. Experts only available with TurboTax Live.